the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lindsay.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Fighting up-to-the-minute information.
The of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only...
On interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending,
3, 2,
David Lickin.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Good to have you here with us. We're broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado at the National MBA Mortgage Bankers Association of America Annual Convention. This is going to be an abbreviated podcast because I'm leaving and we're going to head into a session that is being conducted and it's starting as we start this broadcast. And it's going to be Ben Carson and Mel Watt talking about some of their plans initiatives for the HUD as well as the GSE. So it could be very interesting, and I don't want to miss that. We're going to be also doing a podcast later in the day. We put on the website 3 p.m. It's possible that it may have to go to 4 p.m. We ran into some scheduling issues for the first time with Blog Talk Radio, which we do, as you know, this podcast. So we're excited to have you here now, and many of you have dialed in. Thank you for you faithful listeners that are doing so. A good number of our listeners are here at the conference. And we will be in the Finastra booth here in just a little bit. And we will be listening to the conference and then bringing you a report later on today. Because there's going to be a lot of information coming out here. So we want to make sure we get you on. Now, next week, we've got Lynn Fisher going to be coming on, or Mike Frantoni, one of the two of them. Caught Lynn in the hallway. She's maybe the one doing it. We'll be talking to Lynn Fisher, Dr. Lynn Fisher, who works with Mike Frantoni in the economic department, the forecast department for the MBA. They'll be on next week. And so you won't want to let miss next week. And then what we don't get covered in this podcast to this week, we'll be covering in next week's podcast. So we're going to go through and say a big thank you to all of our sponsors. All of them are here. I've been in most of their booths already. And so I could just go on and on about that. When we do the podcast later today, we'll be going into the more formal topics. First of all, I want to give an overview of what's going on with the market. So we've got Les Parker and his commentary. And then we've got Joe Farr, faithful that he is, dialed in on the line. And we'll get to Joe's market update. And then Alice Alvey will be joining me later in the Finastra booth, talking about what she heard at the various conferences. So again, two-part podcast today, very unusual. We'll be bolting the two of them together, gluing them together, and putting it out as one later on. So some of you that listen to this, you'll be listening to it on a downloaded basis. You won't even know it's a two-part podcast other than you hear me talking about it. Anyway, let's hear what we have from LoanLogix.
LoanLogix appreciates the opportunity to share MarketLogix live during the MBA convention.
I've got you under my skin.
Your loans are under my skin. You've got too deep to depart from me. So deep in my skin that you're really a pain for me. Last week, fiscal policy took center stage and U.S. credit markets softened. But the big news that matters near term came from China's central bank about excess leverage. Its governor said, if we are too optimistic when things go smoothly, tensions build up, which could lead to a sharp correction, what we call a Minsky moment. It occurs when hidden risk in an economy suddenly manifests themselves and asset prices slump, leading to defaults. Trick or treat, the great repricing is coming. These views are my own. Go to LoanLogix.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Well, there you have it. Always love the updates that we get from our friend Les Parker. I had breakfast with him yesterday morning here. Very influential here in the MBA. And one that many people turn to as they're looking at where are the markets going. And so he does a good job on a long-term perspective. But joining us on the podcast now is our good friend, an 8-year veteran of the podcast, Joe Farr with MBS Quoteline. And if you haven't checked out the MBS Quoteline service, folks, you need to do so. mbsquoteline.com. And the voice and the brains behind all of that is our good friend Joe Farr.
I don't have any Minsky moments here, but I do have a report on what's going on in the market.
That is good. I thought that was good. Minsky moments. I thought that was a good little soundbite.
Yeah, so you know, right now MBS prices are up a little bit, about 10 basis points on the day. There have been no economic events today. You know, maybe this is reversing some of Friday's pretty big drop in prices. But throughout the week last week, we saw some deterioration in prices. Most of that came on Wednesday and Friday. But for the week, we lost, I think, about a half a point in price.
Yeah, and that caused rates to rise maybe 8 basis points. And so, again, most of that movement came on Wednesday and Friday. On Wednesday, it was a stock market rally, as Les was talking about, pushing the Dow up well above 23,000. But that rally drew investors away from bonds, causing a bit of a drop in price in bonds. Then on Friday morning, initially, the immediate reaction to an overnight event at the Senate Banking Budget Committee caused MBS prices to fall, and that the Budget Committee passed an increase in the budget to, I think it was like $4 trillion. But what that did was it opened the path for tax reform. That passing that budget was important to do that. Now tax reform has a place in the budget. You know, investors like the possibility of a new tax reform bill, a tax cut primarily. Bond investors didn't like it. Stock investors did. The bond investors see it as creating stimulus, economic growth, and therefore increasing the outlook for inflation. So it was not good for bond investors. Also, it's expected that the budget will increase the deficit by more than it would have without a tax bill. I think they're expecting $1.5 trillion in additional deficit from the tax bill. You know, some people still talk about paying for all of it, but the reality is they expect that there'll be some increase in the deficit because of it. And that, too, is not favored by bond investors, and that's going to add that much more supply of bonds in the market. So prices went down. So last week, the economic data that came out generally didn't cause much reaction. The industrial production did beat expectations. Builder confidence grew a little bit. Existing home sales were flat, but all that was due to a big drop in home sales in the South. 15% drop in the South, which is hurricane related. All the other regions were up. And then looking at this week, Dave, not a lot on the calendar, but a couple of pretty big events. Wednesday, durable orders comes out. Thursday, pending home sales comes out. And Friday will be the first look at third quarter GDP. Right now, I think it's 2.5% GDP is expected. Let me look that up real quick. But the big event of the week is very likely going to be the ECB meeting. They meet on Thursday. At that meeting, they're expected to announce their plan for their bond buying program going forward. Right now, the current bond buying program expires at the end of the year. They're currently buying 60 billion euro a month in new assets. What is expected to be announced is that they will extend beginning in January through September at a rate of 30 billion euro. So cutting the dollar amount in half and extending it 9 months, but not planning to end it necessarily at the end of that 9 months. So, you know, that's what's expected. And I don't know how strongly that's expected, but, you know, it could be a market moving event if what they do is very far from what is expected. And so that'll come out early Thursday morning, maybe about 7:45 Thursday morning Eastern time. So of all the events this week, that's the time I think you should pay some attention.
We could be seeing some volatility then. Okay. Good point.
Absolutely.
Good point.
So that's it.
Really? You are always here, and we appreciate you so much. I have had so many comments, Joe, while being here, about your contribution to the podcast. And a number of your customers are here, and they're going, "Where's Joe? I'd love to have him here." And I said, "Well, you know, some of us have to stay back and make money." So he's back there doing that. Mark, watch the markets. You're doing a good job. Appreciate you dialing in, giving us an update, and then we'll be putting out another update later on in the podcast, later today, and we'll be updating the podcast with information, Joe, about what we're hearing. So we can look for Joe's website. Go to MBS Quote Line, and Joe will be putting an update out. We'll be communicating with you, Joe, so you can do that. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds good?
Sounds good. All right, Dave.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate you being here. Folks, you've been listening to Joe Farr with MBS Quote Line. Check it out, mbsquoteline.com. Joe offers a free, if you haven't used it so far, if you use it, don't call him back for another free round. But if you have, if you haven't you tried Envious Quote Line, I encourage you to do so. You will not be disappointed. Good talking to you. Have a great rest of the day, folks. We'll be back and broadcasting later in the day. I'll give you the specifics on that. Look on the website. We'll give you an update. And but appreciate you being in here. I'm running off to go listen to Ben Carson, Joe, and we'll give you an update on all of that. Well, welcome to the convention again. For those of you that were in the podcast earlier, we're live in Denver, and there's a lot going on here. We have had some exciting meetings here. There's been a lot of conversation about technology and the role of technology. A lot of talk and focus on getting more diversity and translating that is increasing more minorities into this organization. Empower was a huge success. Ran across Marsha Starcher yesterday, and the Empower meeting that she had scheduled in advance was, for Saturday, was so well attended. It was way oversubscribed, so a whole lot of more people showed up when they did not anticipate them. So it's exciting to see the acceptance of what we're doing there, the diversity movement that's going on within the mortgage industry, also seeing some of the initiatives that are being announced here. I sat in a meeting. We're going to get Alice Albee back in here in a little bit later. She'll be coming on and talking to us about the what she heard as she attended the session that I was in with her, and it was regarding Honorable Ben Carson, on who is head of course head, Secretary of the U.S. Housing Urban Development, and then also Mel Watts, who is the director of FHFA, which is the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Very excited to get what his comments were and thought, both of these gentlemen, on what's going on. There has been a lot of frustration about getting people approved through there. Brian Montgomery is going to go back in, at least his name is out there. He has to go through the congressional process of getting approved to be the head of FHA. And there's other names. I know the names of the individuals have been promoted or proposed to be the president of Ginnie Mae. It's taking so long to get these appointees approved and through the system. It's crazy. So if you have any influence with your senators, get on the phone and tell them we need to get HUD and Ginnie Mae fully staffed yesterday. So get out there and make that happen. But anyway, Dr. Ben Carson was talking a lot about housing and about, he made a point to stress that for those lenders that are going to help you responsible lending, help people get in homes and stay in homes, they're going to be working with them, coming up with some, sounds like some new information. Alice will get into that a little bit later. Also, I just walked out of a meeting with folks here at the MBA. I was with Mike Frattantoni, Lynn Fisher, who again we're going to have on next Monday, is going to be our special guest, and Dr. Lynn Fisher, and she works with Mike Frattantoni on the economic forecast. And I just walked out of a meeting and got handed the forecast that's going to be going live on tomorrow on the website. So I've got some information here for you. First of all, as you look at the overall change in gross domestic product, let's go through these numbers here. This, again, fresh, hot off the press, just handed out in the press conference. These numbers are not yet published by the MBA. They will be on the MBA's website tomorrow. So when you're looking at real GDP, real gross domestic product, the number for 2007, the actual 1.2, second quarter 3.1, third quarter is projected to be 2.5, and fourth quarter 2.6. Now, I saw Lynn Fisher, caught her yesterday out in the halls here at the conference, and she was talking about the outlook for 2018. And she said, hate to say it, but we're going to seem like the Grinch that stole Christmas when we're talking about the numbers in 2018. And I didn't know. I said, what are they? She says, come to the press conference. I'll tell you about it. Well, I'm now holding the numbers. GDP, real GDP is projected to be 1.9. Now you say, okay, well, that's better than Q1 of 2017, which is 1.2. Yes, it is. But its second quarter is 2.1 versus 3.1 in 2017. So second quarter to real GDP 2018 is projected to be 2.1 versus last year at the same time, 3.1. So that's a significant drop. Also, we're seeing third quarter 2018 projected to be 2.0 versus 2.5, and the fourth quarter again 2.0. And then the numbers even get a little more bleak as you look out into 19. Now, I don't know how any economists can get any amount of accuracy when they get out there and further out. So it's really interesting to see what's going on. We're very excited to see some good activity here at the conference. Let's take a look at some of the other numbers. Personal consumption expenditures. Now, in first quarter 2017, it was 1.9 and 3.3 in the second quarter. And then in third quarter, it's projected to be 2%, 2.0. And then fourth quarter is 2.6. Now, when you look at 2018, in first quarter, it was 1.9, 3.3 second quarter. Now, first quarter 2018 is actually looking more positive, 2.3. Then second quarter is 2.8. Fourth quarter next year, 2.3, which is better than what's being projected for the quarter we're in right now. And finally, 2.0, which is, again, better than what we saw. Is worse in the fourth quarter 2018 with what we're seeing now. Now, we're going to make these numbers available. You can go to the MBA site. I encourage you to go out to mba.org or the Mortgage Bankers Association of America.com. You can get these numbers. Go to the economic report, and you do not have to be a member to get these. We're also going to be providing some of this information to you all on our website. I'm doing this after we have Lynn Fisher on next week. So, again, Lynn Fisher will be here next week. Very excited to have her joining in with us. When you look at some of the other government consumption, government spending, those numbers are actually turning positive, or they've been negative throughout 2017. That should help the economy a bit. Also, when you look at net exports, not a big number that's going to have an import, a number, but we're anticipating that number, actually the net exports, continue to be more negative. Inventory investment, when you look at what's going on there, those numbers, again, are looking substantially stronger than inventory investments. We're going to get Mike Pratt when he come on by the booth here and talk about some of these numbers here in just a little bit. For those of us in the mortgage industry, that's some of the economic data, the unemployment rate. Let's take a look at what they're projecting. 4.7 is what it was Q1, 4.4 Q2. They're projecting it to remain 4.4 in Q3, 4.2 in Q4 of 2017. Now, here's what they are going to be they're projecting for 2018. We're projecting 4.1% unemployment through first, second, third quarter, and then fourth quarter, it should be 4.0. Then we're going to see it remain 4.0 throughout 2019 and actually slightly increase in 2019. Again, amazing how anyone would want to make a prediction that far in advance. Fed funds rate, that's going to be remaining, that's actually going to be going up. Third quarter one, it's going to be remained unchanged, but third quarter, we already knew that. 1.375, 1.375. Whether it's going to be fourth quarter, 1.5, 1.625 in first quarter, but the MBA is projecting along with 1.875 second quarter, and then 2.125 in third quarter, 2.125 again in the fourth quarter, and then stays there consistently, goes up just slightly in 2019. So it's interesting where we're seeing that. We're seeing obviously interest rates climbing just a bit as a result of that. Now here's what's really interesting. When you look at the forecast for housing starts numbers, we're at 1,238,000 Q1, 1,167 for Q2, and then 846,000 projected for Q3, and 860,000. That number remains at those levels pretty much through the first quarter of 2018, and then in the second quarter of 2018, we're going to start seeing that increase a bit, but not really get up to some of the previous levels that we'd like to see. But it is going to be improving. Anticipating, and not surprising, given the household formation and also looking at inventory for sale, it's not surprising that we're going to see some of the housing starts numbers continue to improve. And then single family, that's again all there, two or four more families, that is actually growing as well. So there's some good housing starts numbers. Home sales numbers are actually going to be improving. They're projecting the number to drop slightly in the third quarter, from 5.5 million to 5.3 million, and then up again slightly in the fourth quarter, 5.4 million, and remaining at those levels through the first quarter, and then we're seeing a slight increase in 2018, second Q2, and Q3 and Q4. So lots of good numbers in here. We encourage you to get this report and take a look at it. I've got joining me right now is a good friend. It's someone that I am excited to be doing another podcast with, Alan Pollack. And Alan is someone I have known for a number of years in the marketplace. We're going to take a break from the economic report, but we're going to take a quick ad break. going to head out with the folks at the MBA. So we'll be right back with Alan Pauley.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. MBA's annual convention and expo kicked off in Denver, Colorado this week with HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson and FHFA Director Mel Watt sharing their thoughts on housing policy. Also featured as a speaker is former NFL quarterback and two-time Super Bowl champion Peyton Manning. In addition to the conference, MBA hosted the first Empowering You event, MBA Summit for Women in Real Estate Finance, which brought women in the real estate finance industry together to be inspired, informed, and empowered. Also last week, MBA President and CEO David Stevens issued a statement praising FHFA and the GSEs for maintaining G-fee parity across all lender sizes. MBA also sent a letter to the Senate supporting Brian Montgomery to be the next FHA commissioner. We hope to see you at this week's annual convention, and thanks for joining us on this week's Mortgage Minute.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
So good to have you with us. We have Alan Pauley live here in the booth. Alan, I want you to give a little bit of an update on what's going on and what you're seeing here at the conference, if you would.
Sure, Dave. Thanks for having me today. So I think today is a very interesting day. There's a lot of change technology companies that we've seen through the last few months, and a lot of the digital mortgage arena has a lot of conversation. But I also want to break away from that just for a quick moment and really talk about, I saw an interesting company today. The name of the company is called Knowledge Coop. And what they do is they say, get it in the coop. So they've taken a little bit of a different spin. They're a content distribution company. And what they do is they take information that you have within your organization. They look at compliance information, self-managed information. They have videos. And they create what they call a coop. It's a very interesting type of philosophy. And so what they do is they help organizations become more efficient by putting that information, distributing it through that coop. And so I met with the president and CEO today, and it's a very interesting way to look at how they like to distribute information. And so they're helping vendors and technology, other technology companies, as long as lenders and investors, to take a look at that data and figure out ways to do better distribution. But in addition to the distribution, David, they are helping with the communication against
them. Right, no, I saw that. That was really interesting. I'm glad you had a chance to meet with them. Talk a little bit about what you're noticing here on the floor as you talk about what's happening.
So I think everyone, one, is very excited. This is that one event of the year where we get a lot of participation. There's most of the vendors that have been to the event throughout the year are here. There's been a large number of social networking events. I think the overall activity is very positive. I think that a lot of technology vendors are excited that they've exposed what they're doing or what's new, and this is that one last time where that big event we're getting here where everybody gets to sort of, you know, show off what they have or what they're working on. I haven't seen any other new technologies. I've seen
nothing really new coming out here.
Not yet. I've seen some cool things around title. I think some companies are trying to do some new stuff in that area, and I've seen some new imaging and OCR technologies. But other than that, I think it's been pretty even keel.
Yeah, what is interesting is if the booth area is well attended. For those that are considering having booth space here, it is expensive. Everyone complains about the prices.
It's a big room.
But it is a big room, and there's good flow through here a good amount of the time. So kudos to our MBA. They're doing a lot to try to get the booth traffic up here, and it has been overall very good. Excuse me, Alan. One of the things that I wanted to get your comments on, I attended the digital disruption meeting yesterday. I was really disappointed in that session. I was shocked at the lack of, or the content. Now, there is a lot of digital disruption going on in the marketplace. There is a lot happening as it relates to this, and I would love to get your thoughts on that. So, it's not that they just selected the wrong panel, as far as I'm concerned, and they're good people. No, most of them. And they're good people, and the speaker was good. It was okay. But I tell you, there is a lot of digital disruption, and I ran into our mutual good friend Gabe Mitten, and he was talking about some of the stuff that's going on.
And there's a session on Wednesday. I don't know if you're going to be here on Wednesday to be able to attend that.
I will.
Oh, yeah. Grab that. You want to get in because I want to get your feedback on that. And then we're going to talk about our podcast that's coming up.
So digital disruption, I think, is where, you know, we've got a lot of technology advancements, and I think it's a lot easier to acquire technology. So if you're a lender, you've got the risk of having information stored within your own organization and how that information flows. And so digital disruption means even just taking that data and being able to put it, secure it, and move it to a secure location. And then it's also, how do we, you know, we talked about this on a previous podcast, how do we help make the process more efficient? And that's really what digital disruption means.
Okay. So then also, does digital disruption mean new technologies disrupting the marketplace? Is that?
It does, yeah. And I think that, you know, there was a bunch of different digital disruptors at the Source Media Conference. I don't think there's anything new today that I've met everybody.
Yeah.
But I think maybe towards now, getting the year, I think anyone that has been spending this year putting their technology together is going to try and make a big announcement between now.
By the way, did we mention that we're in the Finastra booth?
We're not.
We got going live here, and we are in the Finastra booth. I'm so excited about having the opportunity. If you're at the conference, swing by the Finastra booth. Suite 600, is that what it is? That is it. Suite 600, come on by. Alan, thanks for taking a few minutes. Let's talk briefly about the podcast that we've got coming up. We're kicking it off after the first of the year. We're going to be talking about digital, everything technology.
Yeah.
And we've got the name picked.
We do, finally.
And so, I mean, I think we got to tell you your story of what happened, of how fast disruption can happen. Tell your business card story. This is really good. And then we're going to get Mark Jones. He's in the batter's box. Can't wait to get him on here after this.
Great. So for those of you that know me, I decided it was time to make a change, and I went out and started doing some consulting and advisory work. And David, you and I are working together on the advisory side.
Yes, you're joining me in the consulting business.
Yeah, and so I last minute, something didn't happen with the business cards I needed. So I was on the airplane. I had about 30% left on my laptop. I decided, you know what, let me just see. There's got to be a way I can quickly just put a logo together, get the company name registered, and get business cards made. So I had about, you know, maybe 40% of my laptop left. The time was clicking. And so I went online. I found this company that you pay $39, and they generate hundreds of logos. And I looked at a couple. I was impressed because their logos actually looked like a professional did. So I paid $39. I got a logo. I found one I liked, which, you know, sometimes it's hard to make a decision on something like that. Quickly went online, made sure the name was available. I registered it. Like, peers going down to 15%. The plane starting to, you know, get to its arrival. And I said, you know what? The internet was slowing down. I said, I'm going to make this happen. So I quickly Googled. I found it was Staples, like a mile away from my hotel. I went on Staples. You order by two. You can have the business card by three.
No.
So I registered the name. I secured the logo. I downloaded the photo-ready copy. I made business cards. Internet was choppy. I got down to about 5% on my laptop. I paid the Staples fee, hoping that there was going to be no problem or anything, and then I pick it up, and when I landed, no messages, went to Staples, and everything was ready.
You're kidding. So here you are. You come up with a logo on a flight. Now, you hear about the guys in the up in Silicon Valley. What they do there is they'll go out and they say, let's meet and get a group of us together for coffee, have lunch and write up a business plan.
That's right.
Thursday, get it by 3 o'clock, get it launched, get it sold by 5 p.m. That's almost what happened.
Yeah.
I think you created it.
I love it. So now we can get into the logo branding.
We got that. I also want to talk briefly about the podcast that is going to be Everything Technology. You guys are going to launch. We're going to launch that as of the January 1st.
Yeah. So we thought we were talking about what is the name going to be, and we've been going back and forth. So I think we're about 80% or 90% decided.
Yep.
And the name is going to be TechStack Radio.
Yep.
And, you know, when you talk to different individuals or companies about what are they doing technology-wise, one question that
always comes up,
what is your technology stack?
Exactly.
And so TechStack Radio is going to be most likely the name. What we'd like to do for all the listeners that are participating today or that may download this podcast, if you could contact us at lickinonlending.com or Dave at TMS-Advisors or David and Alan at TMS-Advisors, and your feedback would be great. We can do a little crowdsourcing idea here.
That would be awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
get some feedback.
That would be great.
We would love your feedback, folks, on that name.
In addition to that, you know, we really want to focus on what is new and happening with technology. We're hoping to put together an interactive model. You and I are working on a mobile app, and we're going to try and make it a way that the folks that are part of the broadcast while we're live, they can interact with us. The ones that download it, they can be part of our mobile experience where they can comment and provide good information that we can bring back to the podcast that follows.
So excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Thank you, Alan. Take a few minutes, man.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, we're going to be right back with the After an Ad Break. We're going to bring on another good friend that's going to be joining us in the podcast. Mark Jones standing in here. And so we're going to be right back after this break. And guess what? We have got the TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. We'll be right back.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
So good to have everyone back here. I've got joining me in the chair for a few minutes. Alice Alvey's down the batter's box. Get her on in a minute. But we've got a good friend, and we've got Mark Jones, who is joining us on the podcast. And I'm excited to have Mark here for a number of reasons. First of all, he's one of the Board of Governors in the MBA, a leader in the MBA, has one of the most successful mortgage banking companies based out of the Detroit area. Am I correct in the area?
Actually, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Other
side of the state.
Other side of the state. That's right. You're across state. That's right. Yeah. Well, it's a big state, and you're doing a great job. You have a good servicing portfolio. We've had you on as a guest. And I like your style so much of the communication that one of the things I'm most excited about is you and I doing a new podcast together, Licking on Leadership. And you're a leader. You're a good balance to my hyper-personality. You're Mr. Coleman, even temperamented. And, Mark, I'm really excited to have you come on. So let's talk a little bit about what people can expect to hear on this Licking on Leadership program.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'm really excited. I'm honored by inviting me to be your co-host on this program. I think what our mind's eye view is that we're going to invite mostly people within the industry, but also some folks from outside of the industry, and talk about their journey, their leadership journey, not so much their mortgage journey, but their leadership journey, and the lessons they learned along the way, what their styles are now, what has not worked in the past, what is working, how they continue to grow. And then I think when we go outside of the industry, we'd like to get some thought leaders in the leadership space. I'd love to have some national celebrity type of we'll see if we can pull that
string. Well, I'm just honored to have you joining us here. We've already done an interview of David Stevens. I got that done before I could get you confirmed as the co-host, but you did a great job of opining on that one. We are going to be going out. In fact, we're selecting a number of people here, listeners, that are leaders. If you know of listeners, get a hold of Mark and I. And you already been given my email address, but I'm going to have Mark give his in a minute. So you can write me at david@tms-advisors.com, or you can write Mark at...
It's first initial, last name, so mjones@amerifirst.com.
And email us, folks, on who you'd like us to interview, the leaders that you know that are in the marketplace, that you would like to showcase, that you would like to hear their story. Our goal is to do this here for a good number of years, and the goal is to leave a legacy behind, Mark, so after you and I are retired and gone, there will be this a repository of all this knowledge. And I think what's most interesting is, we go through these cycles, and what we fail to learn, we're doomed to repeat. And I think what we're hoping to do is bring these stories forward and have them to the point where people are going to be able to learn from them. And I'm excited about that.
I am too. And I think, in our industry, there's probably going to be a leadership gap for a period of 10 years because of the ugly time that we had in our industry, who wanted to get into the mortgage business during those ugly times. And so we have this 8 to 10 year period where we just didn't get any new blood in the organization. So the group that's coming in now is much younger. And so that in between level of people to kind of bring them along and help coach them to be better leaders is going to be absent. So I think it's going to be relying on programs like this for them to be able to have that type of repository to learn from some of the best in our industry and outside our industry. So I'm equally excited for my team as well as the whole industry.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join me here, friend. Looking forward to it. We'll see you at the chairman's luncheon or a reception here a little bit later.
That's right, in a few hours.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Mark. Right, appreciate
care.
It. You bet. Folks, that's Mark Jones joining me on the Licking on Leadership program. So excited about this one. There's a lot of content that we could be doing out there. And I sit and look at what is potential through this medium through podcasting. I am a podcast junkie. I have at least a dozen podcasts I listen to each week and more. My phone is blowing up because I'm storing so many of these here to do. So anyway, so good to have you here with us. We're excited about it. We got an earlier update on the markets, but Joe Farr dialed back in. I'm so thrilled to have him on. And we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're going to go to Joe and get to see what happened with the markets and see if there's any more information he can share with us. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break from one of our sponsors.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
We've got Joe Farr on the line. It's always fun to have Joe dialed in.
Hey, Dave.
Today we got a two-for-one going, two-for-one special on this. So, Joe Farr, before we get Alice in the chair and give us an update, why don't you join in here and give us what's happened in the market since you talked? And then for those we got some more people dialed in today. You could kind of repeat a little bit of some of the market cap that you gave us earlier.
Well, yeah, I mean, today it's been pretty flat. We are positive, getting back some of the price drop that we had on Friday. Currently up 15 basis points, and it's at the high for the day, but it's really been a very quiet day so far. So, you know, last week was not such a good week, as I mentioned before, Friday being the worst day, and that was a reaction to, you know, the Senate Budget Committee passing something that would say that the budget can be expanded, which allows us to now see the potential of a tax cut from the Republicans. And the market liked that, the stocks liked that, but the bond investors didn't so much for a couple of reasons. One is that the tax cut is expected to stimulate the economy, which will spur inflation, which is not good for mortgage rates or bond investors. And second thing is that it's going to have some deficit spending associated with it. Somewhere around $1.5 trillion are expected to fund the tax cuts, at least at the start, and that's going to put more supply of long-term debt on the market, or short-term debt, whatever it is, that's going to take away investors from other things like mortgage-backed securities. And that was not good for MBS prices. And then for the week ahead, Dave, it's a couple pretty important things, but the most important thing is going to come out on Thursday, probably before you get to work. The ECB is going to meet, and they're going to announce what their 2018 plan will be for quantitative easing. They've been buying about 60 billion euro a month under a plan that ends in December. So the expectations are that they're going to announce an extension of 9 months. And it's going to be at half the quantity, so it's at 30 billion euro in investments in primarily in bonds, longer-term assets. So, but that's most of it, Dave.
Most of it there. Well, we're getting Alice to get her headphones on here, so you can go ahead and get Alice a few questions if you want to get in here, get her mic on set up, do this around the Finaster booth. The Finaster does a great job of putting this up here. We've got lights. We got cameras, action, it's all going here. So we're just really excited about this. So I want you to stay in on this part of the discussion as you listen to Alice give a report on some of the things that she has been attending. Alice, were you in the session with Ben Carson and Mel Watts? Were you there taking notes?
I was.
Oh, good. That's what I was hoping. This is the second session? Main session?
Yeah. It was great. About 11 o'clock, mountain time. So Ben Carson was great. He talked about climate change, the economy, actually. Hold, making sure that there was some clarity, and you know, but at the same time, making sure we all want to make sure the bad actors stay out of business right now. There are a big topic was the VA. You know, we talked about the runoff for VA loans quite a bit, and you can call it runoff, and you can call it churning. So there's a lot of discussion about unfair refinances that are going on for our veterans right now. That kind of laid out what is good payment of their investment versus money saved on the payment. And so there's a lot of loans people are seeing today that necessarily don't make sense for the veterans. Their LTVs are going up, and this is not the group that you should person on the thing is going to have a problem if they need to try and get out of the house in a short period of time. So it is something the industry is trying to take a look at and brought up not only in the the secondary market section, but also in by Ben Carson. There's a couple of other things that he brought up. Let's see, so he introduced his staff, so that was great. He really does see that he wants to improve FHA's technology. We've heard that many times over the years, and we all know that that involves money. But perhaps there is some way that he can try and get that with the new administration. So we're all excited to see that he's at least focused and aware of the gap. He had a few inspirational stories. I love his background. And for those of you who don't know that, you know, he comes from lived with his mom and family, and has some wonderful stories, and really does talk a lot about collaborating with Mortgage Bankers Association, which we all like to hear and make sure he really emphasized housing. So we love that. You know, we all want to make sure that we're on the same page with HUD to offer financing and get some reassurances from them that, and get investors on board so we don't have to keep putting overlays on top of this. So it's one thing to hear HUD talk. I would love to always hear the AG and the DOJ at the same time. All right, we're right behind you. We'll audit this the same way. So we were happy that Dr. Carson had said that he would he had talked to the DOJ. And they're on the same page to give some lenders clarity on
Did you hear all right, Joe? Did that come through a little bit better?
The part about the DOJ might have been the penalties under the, the False Claims Act. We didn't hear that very well, and that to me is very important. I would ask that maybe you reiterate what Alice said.
Yeah, Alice, okay. So can you hear me all right now?
I can hear you fine, Dave.
Okay, so first, that's weird. We switched microphones, so we're going to try this one more time. I go back right here, and now I switched and used the mic that Alice was just using, and you can still hear me all right, right?
Yes, yes.
That is so weird.
Yeah. I'm not being quiet, so
I'm sure I'm loud or something. We're going to boost you up just a bit. Well, we got Mike Pratt and Tony coming on here. Joe, we're apologizing for some of the issues we're having on that. We'll get her back, and we'll approach that on that. We'll cover that again. Joe, thank you so much. All right, folks. Did that help at all, Joe?
No, you're still clear, David. Alice was hard to hear.
All right. Well, we're working on that. All righty. Thank you so much, everybody. We're going to be right back with Mike Pratt and Tony in just a minute. Thank you so much for being here with us. We're going to say a special thank you to Jim Jump and the folks from ArchMI. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Thanks, David. Yep. Let me tell your audience a little bit about ArchMI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems, through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
All right, Mike, we're going to have to have you stand right over here. We're going to share that mic for some reason. We're not entirely sure why this is, but it is just misbehaving. So I want to talk about the numbers. We just came out of a meeting with you and Lynn. And we're going to have Lynn or you on, Lynn probably next week, going actually over these numbers in greater detail. But if you could run through your report and just give us a little bit of an insight of where things are at.
Sure thing, David. So these are numbers we're going to officially release at our Economic Outlook presentation here tomorrow, 11:30, I believe. And Lynn Fisher, Marina Walsh, and I will all be given a detailed view of the mortgage market as we see it. And headline coming out, we're expecting purchase originations to increase by about 7% next year, total volume off about 5%, because mortgage rates ticking, you know, another 0.5% or so higher really is going to depress refis. But, really supported by a strong job market, continued economic
growth,
and mortgage rates increasing, but not that much.
When you're looking at some of the numbers that are probably a little more surprising to you, if you could get into the aspect and say, you know what,
we didn't see this necessarily coming. I was talking to Lynn before yesterday. I caught her, and she goes, I know you're not going to like some of the numbers we have for 2018. So talk about that.
So I mentioned we're really doing the presentation tomorrow in three parts, and I get the easy part to talk about broad macro environment, which is really pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? This combination of strong job growth and yet rates not going up too much. Lynn's really focusing in on the housing market, which you'll hear a different tone than we've had the last couple of years, which is a little bit concerned that affordability is slipping away. We've seen home prices increase faster and faster, growing well in excess of wages. And in a number of markets in this country, it's already really a binding constraint, and we think that's going to be more widespread. But we're just not seeing builders put up enough units to meet the demand that's really out there. And in some ways, it's showing us a slowing in transactions, and prices just jumping through the roof. It's sort of making the problem worse. But this is the kind of issue that it'll solve itself eventually. We'll get enough new units built, but I think we got a couple of years that are leaner than we expected. So the 2017 home sales number came in below what we had forecast, and really led us to go back and take another close look and say, you know, this isn't resolving as fast as we thought it would, and I think it has an impact on the 18 and 19 numbers.
That's going to be really interesting. When you look at, you know, someone had texted me earlier when I was giving some of the numbers out, and they go, how can anyone do a forecast for 2019 given some of the possible events for 2018? So it was a question that came from our listeners. Is that just, you know, are you throwing darts at a dartboard at that point?
You know, there are aspects of the forecast which are certainly easier. You know, we've been pretty much right in terms of purchase volume the last couple of years, but that's just being driven by what's going on in the job market and that demographic tailwind, which is incredibly favorable for the industry over the long term. Getting rates right, a lot more challenging. That really impacts the refi forecast a bit more. Now, you know, you talk to a number of corporations, they do plans over 3 and 5 year horizons, and so having a benchmark like ours out there, which is hopefully a reasonable sort of baseline estimate of how things are likely to evolve. Now, what I'm going to highlight tomorrow is absolutely, there are a lot of variables out there that may not line up the way we're thinking, and we want to highlight that. Every corporation, every lender should be thinking about multiple different scenarios. How would they fare if rates jumped up a lot higher? That's got to be part of your thinking now, too, right? So we've had a number of times where rates came in lower than expected, had a little refi boom, but that's been nice. Now, given the global situation, there's, I think, an increased risk that we get the other side. We get rates bumping up much higher, spreads widening more than we expected.
So I'm going to let you jump in with some questions if you would like to see if you have anything for Mike here.
Well, coming from Texas, you know, Mike, what effects do you see the hurricane having? I know it's not going to have long-term effects, but over the near term?
Great question. So for hurricanes, we really got two windows into that in terms of impact on the industry. One is on the application side. We'll show some data tomorrow. We were able to break out both Texas and Florida, and you saw that was really a matter of weeks, where for a couple of weeks, application volume was way down, and then it sprang right back. And we saw the same thing nationally in terms of data on things like unemployment insurance claims, and fully expect the employment report for October will show a bounce back from the week of September. So that's sort of a window in terms of high-frequency stuff. In terms of delinquencies and foreclosures, if you look back at Katrina, that was 1 or 2 quarters of a real spike in delinquencies in the impacted areas. Certainly expecting that. Offsetting that, you see foreclosures fall off because a number of the investors, you know, allow forbearance for the impacted homeowners. So we expect that delinquencies will be way up in the impacted areas third and fourth quarter, but then come back and burst in the second quarter next year. Similarly, with the housing starts data, you know, you'd expect lower in third and fourth quarter than we previously forecast, higher in first and second next year.
Yeah.
Joe?
What about building costs?
Oh, it's not helping, you know, because you talk to the builders about what their constraints are if they don't have enough workers. And this is going to lead a lot of workers to go do some repair work as opposed to building new units. It's shortage of developable land. That's not going to help. And then supply costs. The supply costs are going to probably go up as a result of this as well. So it's all adding to cost of housing.
Well, it's so good to have you join in here. I'm getting some harassment from some of our friends out here on some of the issues. So much fun. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to stop by here. I know you got to run into another meeting.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back after this brief word from our friends at Mochippi Solutions with a KPI of the week.
Hi, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be back. And this week's key performance indicator is application to underwriting cycle time. This KPI is a measurement delivered at business days, and tracking this metric helps lenders ensure that their processes upstream from underwriting are as efficient as they can be. Our clients generally find that the sooner their qualified borrowers receive an underwriting decision, the less likely those borrowers are to shop around. So this KPI can ultimately boost app-to-funded pull-through as well, which is the KPI we focused on last week. So we're really beginning to connect the dots between operational efficiency and customer satisfaction. And once again, this and other KPIs we will be talking about in the coming weeks always demonstrate that what gets measured gets results. I will thank you again, Dave, and turn it back to you.
I've got Susan joining us from CMBA. Does she even need a last name? It's Susan CMBA. I know, Malazzo. I always want to go by your old maiden name.
That's fine.
Anyway, it's so good to have you here. Susan, I want to talk. You can put those headphones on. You can hear our audience. And Joe, you're welcome to jump in with any questions if you want. But Susan, it's good to have you here. And I want to talk about this is the national MBA, but we have our state association. And you do such an amazing job with the associations there in California.
Great. Well, thank you, Dave, for having us on the show today. So the California MBA, as our many states across the country, have their own state mortgage banking associations. And they serve a great role for the lending industry in each of our individual states. National MBA does a great job representing us before Congress, before our federal regulators. But each of us in our state that have the responsibility of representing lenders in our state. We go to our state regulators and the state regulators, and I know that many of these states that are multi-state lenders, they know that there are struggles that come from each of the states as well. So it's very important to support the national MBA, but also take a look at those state MBAs that you're active with, where you have the majority of your lending, and see what activities they're doing on behalf as well.
All right. Is Joanne Ms. Rock around you? Because you were walking around here. We saw her a little bit late, earlier at lunch. Talk about some of the programs. Now, you have your main events. Now, you seem to have so many successful events. CMBA, the Western Secondary, is one of the big ones that you have in October. What are some of the ones you have coming up? And do you have an annual, per se?
Yeah, actually, we don't have an annual convention, which is a little bit counterintuitive for some state MBAs and certainly the national. What we have are several conferences where we address different segments of the industry. So we have our Western Secondary Market Conference, which happens in July in San Francisco, which is God's country in San Francisco in July, right? And then in August, we have our Loan Servicing and Mortgage Technology Conference. Which we're going to be talking more about. We also have commercial lenders within California. So we have our Commercial Real Estate Finance Conference that happens in Las Vegas every September. So our summer is like jam-packed with all of our state conferences. But what we've got coming up in December in Orange County is our Legal Issues and Regulatory Compliance Conference. And we've got a two-day event. We're finalizing the agenda, but we're going to be talking about federal and state regulatory updates. Few panels on some very important litigation that are facing the industry and top of mind, as well as a number of regulatory compliance issues in California. A lot of lenders that lend in that state know that struggling with the compliance under Caribbean interest is a big challenge.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be talking about that. Just had a new bill passed this year, SB2, that is going to be $75 enforcement fee. I've been working with the Land Title Association, escrow, and the County Reporters Association to figure out how we're going to go into 2018 compliance. So a lot of great content at that point.
That's good. I encourage you listeners to get to the California, even if you don't live in California, you got to get out there because those, especially some of you that are wanting to develop strong state associations, take a look at what Susan does out there in California. They're just excellent, well-attended conference, especially vendors looking for a good place to get in front of a lot of people. Where to do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That's good. It's so good to see you again.
You too.
I lived in California for a good number of years, so it's always fun to see someone, one of my fellow Californians, come back on the radio. John Bryant, Hope, OperationHope.org. As I go back and listen to that, it's really good. And we've had a number of lenders talk about that program, that they want to get a hold of him to get that program installed in their company. So, folks, good to have you with us. It's been fun. Every time we do one of these live at one of the conferences, it's always interesting. Joe, did you want to have any comments as you want to as we're closing this out? Can you still hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. No comments. Have a good time out there.
Well, we will wish you were here. Next time, We'll look forward to having everyone back. We'll be back live next week with Dr. Lynn Fisher, and we'll be giving an economic report. Good to have you with us, folks. Enjoy the conference for those of you who are listening here at the conference. And if not, have a great week wherever you're at. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.